You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for He is
good. Yes, He is good. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Yes, He is good.
The love of Jesus has changed my life. I've seen His beauty and heard His word. Now I worship at the feet of Christ who redeemed me with His own blood. In His body I have found.
I titled this today, Why Do You Stand Looking Into Heaven? And so while I kind of pontificate a little bit, get your Bibles open to Acts chapter 1, the very first chapter. And we're going to basically be dealing mostly with verses 6 through 11, I believe. I might go into verses 1 through 5 as well, or at least reference them. But I want to tell you guys real quickly what motivated me to go to this scripture. I was, I guess, maybe 3 weeks ago out there on the streets of Baltimore doing outreach. And one of the things with the outreach work that my nonprofit, Thirst No More Corporation, does is we have a fourth Saturday outreach right in Baltimore City. That outreach, like many outreaches around the nations, involves giving out food, in our case, hot food. Clothing, toiletries, Bibles, love, the Word of God, all of that. And it's a real great way to interact with the community. Now, what happens is that while the people who volunteer with the organization, while they're doing their thing, they're serving and loving on people, oftentimes I will canvass the neighborhood. And when I say canvass the neighborhood, there, believe it or not, are people that are a little skeptical about actually coming to a table or to tables to receive. Because oftentimes people have a pride that they don't want to even admit that they're in need. Mm-hmm. So they won't even come to the table, although they definitely have the need. Mm-hmm. And so God provokes me to make sure to walk the neighborhood to invite people that may not know that we're set up or maybe too shy to come or whatever reasons they might feel hindered in coming and joining with us. But I go out and I make sure that I not only invite folks, but I also witness while I'm out and about. And so this past, well, let me see, what is this? This is April. So about a week ago, actually, I was out there doing my regular walk, and I came across a group of three guys. Now, they were about a block away from our setup, and I had invited them to come on, and they said that they would and everything like that. But they were in the middle of a conversation. And I'm going to tell you, this conversation had to deal with the role of women in the church. Now, I'm not going to get into that conversation today. I promise you, I will address that at a later time because I'm feeling convicted to do so. But for now, they were just banding about, you know, one person had this idea, another person had this idea, and what have you. Of course, nobody is talking about the Bible. And so I was so glad to be there because they allowed me to come into their little network, which is really like a porch, little porch. And I went right on up in there, bold as a soldier. And I began to just share, you know, God's word concerning that topic. But in the midst of that, one of the guys, and this guy is the one who was fighting against a certain point more than anybody else, he said, "Man, why don't the pastors ever come out here and talk to us?" And I was like, "Oh my goodness, what?" And it kind of hit me. And the reason why it hit me is because in my own way, I've been asking that same question. And before I go any further, this is in no way to railroad pastors globally, because I do a lot of outreach, I know that pastors are out there. In fact, there's a group out there called Greater Grace, and the pastor, I know him personally, and he is out there faithfully doing the work of ministry. But what my brother on the stoop was saying is that even if they're out here, they're not having conversations directly. They might be preaching, they might be serving, but they're not talking and just coming to the individual at the individual's level, at the individual's need, and to just share. And it kind of messed me up because this came after, I mean, there was a lot of back and forth, and nobody was getting nasty or hostile, but it was definitely lively, this debate that they had going on. And, you know, I've never been one to run from a debate. And I was up in there, too, trying to make a point for God. But in the midst of that, that question hit me. And I said, you know, you go to the scripture, it says, you know, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. But deep in my own conscience, I just started to think about it. Why is it that the church, in the general sense, and I will say many local churches, why is missions and evangelism, why is that on the lowest tier, when what I'm about to read to you proves that it should be at the top level, way before raising money for a new building or for whatever gazillion ministries that we have manufactured? Like, I don't see where any of those are even mentioned in the Bible. We got so many ministries. I got the ministry of being able to clip my toenails. I got the ministry of being able to, you know, do this or do that. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what just happened to ministry? Just in whatever capacity God has gifted us with. And so I'm not going to beat that soapbox all through this conversation today, but it did make me think, when did we change from what's going on in the book of Acts, where it just seemed like everything was about fellowship? And when I say fellowship, I'm not actually talking about necessarily just always being in the local church, but people were actually communing in their homes, breaking bread in small groups and sharing the gospel, where it wasn't like one person who is just dictating the law, but there was actually like question and answering, you know, consideration of different points of view. Because even as Myra and I are on this platform, which doesn't really allow for verbal back and forth, you know, with our audience, we are sensitive to the fact that our audience have their own feelings about certain things as it relates to the different topics that we talk about, which is why we have platforms available where they can actually talk back to us, whether it's our Adoration Talk Radio private group or even just our page. You can always have access to us if you feel like there's something that you want to add to the conversation or something that we may have missed or something that you dispute, because I don't even have a problem with dispute as long as it is done in decency and in order with respect, because I'm going to do the same for you, even if I disagree with something that you share. But anyway, to get to my point, the point is really quick, is that somewhere we made the ministry of Jesus Christ about us, and we forgot God. And this is setting up perfectly, because remember, the title of this is, Why Do You Stand Looking Into Heaven? And that was a question that the disciples asked of Jesus as he was preparing to ascend to his Father in heaven. And so, you know me, gotta give you a little insight into all of this, because, you know, if you don't do your homework and you just read things right off the top, then oftentimes you're not getting the full scope or the full meaning of things. So let me just break it down to you. The book of Acts was written by Luke. Luke also being the writer of the book of Luke, which is one of the four Gospels. And so what Acts really is a continuation of Luke's writings from the book of Luke. And Acts chapter 1 in particular is kind of an expansion of what he was talking about, if my memory serves correct, in Luke chapter 24, verse 50, and talking about these things that are to come. And so when we get to the writing of Acts chapter 1, we find that Luke is actually writing this letter, book, whatever you want to call it, to Theophilus. And Theophilus was, you know, a very dear friend of Luke. And so from one friend to another, Luke is breaking things down. As my wife shared, in those days, it was called the Way. And I'm going to say it again. I know I said it last week. I think I'm going to start calling it the Way again, because I like that. It's just something about it. It just feels like when you say the Way, you know, I think about the truth. I think about the life, and it kind of works all together because they didn't have any title for it yet. So it was just the Way. And I wish we would just get back to the Way. So anyway, so it starts off in Acts chapter 1, where he's writing to Theophilus. And let me just read a little bit of this. It says, you know, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. That's making me think about apostles and how, anyway, I'm going to leave that alone for now. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So I'm going to expand on that a little bit, because there was a major concern, even with the disciples in Acts, because there was a perception of what the kingdom of God is. And one of the things that they were expecting that would reveal God's kingdom would be, in those days, the overthrowing of Rome, because they were, in fact, being governed by Rome. And so they even saw Jesus, you know, when we're talking about you know, that whole Holy Week and Jesus coming into Jerusalem, they were looking for this Messiah who would deliver them from the influence and from the bondage of Rome. And even that being short-sighted, because the real bondage had nothing to do with Rome, but has everything to do with what's going on in one's own mind, body, and spirit and soul. But anyway, so the disciples or apostles to be, they were still in that mindset where they're looking for a deliverance from the government, basically. And it made me think about it, because many of us are doing the same thing, and we're looking for someone to come and be our savior, to deliver us from government, from the influence of government, from the rules that seem to have us hostage and seem to have us bound. And you know, at the end of the day, our situation and our issues are not so much about what mankind is doing to us, but it's really about what we've allowed ourselves to believe and what we've allowed ourselves to actually perceive as far as what's freedom and what's not freedom. I will tell you right now, in the same chair that I'm sitting in right now, I have had many conversations with my wife about the fact that, man, many people say they think they're free, and they're really not free at all, because as she said earlier, when you hear the conversation, they're really using slave words. And I'm like, okay. And I tell her every time, I can't help but not hear what these folks are saying. And it's taking everything in my body to not say something back, unless God allows me to. So anyway, not to be long-winded with that. So by the time we get to what I really want to talk about, we're at verse 6 in Acts chapter 1. And I want to go ahead and read that for you. It simply says, so when they had come together and asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That's exactly what they were asking. They were looking to be rid of Roman rule, and that Israel, because they weren't even considering anything outside of Israel. So they're just looking for their own emancipation. And honestly, to this day, they're still looking for their own emancipation. And yet the emancipation has already come. That's another topic for another day. But anyway, so then in verse 7, it says this. He says, he said to them, and this is Jesus, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. And I would render that as some sound advice that we should adhere to today, because it's one thing to have healthy debate like my guys on the stoop. They're just debating. But many of us are basically living on our intellect and trying to understand every nook and cranny of God. And I will tell you, as one who has realized that God is ultimately unknowable, that you're going to be spinning around forever, and you'll always live in a state of confusion, because the minute that you figure that you got God all figured out, God will throw something on you that will totally be different than anything that you've ever experienced. And so I've always said to people, you might as well just flow with this thing and enjoy the ride. It will be bumpy at times. It will be smooth at times. It will be everything in between, but it will be very much worth it. And so by the time we get to verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And right there, beloveds, with that one statement, Jesus, in his own way, took them out of just Israel to let them know that they would have the opportunity, if inspired by the Holy Spirit, to be able to go to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the end of the earth. In the King James, I like that, where they say it, to the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, you can go everywhere to share the word, because there's going to be someone everywhere who is going to need to hear from you. And how will they hear the Lord if you have not been sent? And so Myra and I sit here as two people who have been sent by God to share in the uttermost parts of the earth, as well as our own Jerusalems, Judeas, and Samarias. And this is really key, because before you can do anything, you have to receive the power. The only way that you have that power is that you are saved. And the only way that you are saved is by the grace of God, because Ephesians 2 and 8, in my memory, and I might throw 9 in there, it says we are saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God, and it's nothing that we do in and of ourselves. It's His gift to us in faith, when we trust Him in faith, when we believe. And if you believe, then you have been given an assignment. And so this is the thing. When we're in mission conferences, many mission conferences reference Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That is the missionary statement of purpose. You know, I very seldom hear in those conferences where they talk about receiving this power. We're talking about go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go, go, go. We always do that part, but we don't focus on receiving the power. And I'm going to tell you, as one who is right now literally had a witness experience while we were at lunch today, it can happen anytime and anywhere. And so how could that have taken place unless God had sent us? There were many things that went about having this lunch with our friends that totally proved to us that God had a different intention other than us just fellowship, and it ended up being for a young man. And I believe that's why we were really there, united as ministers of the gospel, to make sure that we were pouring in to this gentleman, and that prayerfully he will understand things, not like the disciples here in Acts 1, where he might be looking for something that's temporal, but that he would get the fullness of the God experience by way of the Holy Spirit. So look, let me make my point. All of this is being talked about because, going back to my three guys on the stoop, the one asked that question, how come the ministers, the pastors aren't out here talking to us, bro? And I had to say, because they haven't gotten to Acts 1 and 8 yet. Now, just because you have the credentials, just because you have the theological knowledge, doesn't mean that you fully understand what this is all about. And I will say this boldly but assuredly, any house of worship that does not have missions in the number one spot in their curriculum, you have missed the mark. I have to say this, because everything about what was going on in Acts was a continuation of what happened in Matthew when Jesus told them to go ye therefore and teach all nations. So Acts confirms Matthew. And so there's no thing here in Acts at all where it just says, well, we're going to contain everything into one room or into one church building. And I'm not hating the church, guys, but I'm saying that there has to be more to it than what's going on the inside. We've created all these manufactured ministries that are not dealing with the people who are in need. I'm going to tell you right now, the people that are most in need of the gospel are literally outside your doors. And many times you're using people who are in the church who are also in need of the gospel and not equipped to go out there, and they are not fully prepared to minister to those who are in need of a savior. That brother that I saw and who called me out with that question, he was simply saying, man, we're your people. That's what he was really asking me. See, I like to cut to the core of things. Where your boys at? How come you the only one out here? I'm going to tell you, in the corridor that we were in Baltimore, there were two other ministries that were out there at the same time that my group was out there, but nobody was going to them. They were waiting for them to come to wherever their platform was. And I'm telling you guys, that is not the gospel ministry. In the book of Acts, you saw where the church began to grow by thousands per day because the way was very new and very exciting and very challenging. And it took people that were filled with the Holy Ghost in order to be able to rightly divide the word of truth and to encourage those that were on the outside with limitations in their minds, that thinking that their little worlds are just confined to their block or to their city, to know that there's a great big world out here that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what he was asking me is, why ain't your boys showing up? And sadly, that is the same question that I ask. Now, I'm going to continue, and then I'm closing out. In Acts, I'm continuing, starting at verse 9. We know this is about Jesus' ascension, but listen to this. It says, and when he had said these things, and as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? I'm closing with the very question that's this title. Why do you stand looking into heaven? Many of our pastors, ministers are literally standing and looking into heaven, waiting for Jesus to return, acting like they'll just kind of hold court until he returns. But that's not our assignment. Because in Acts, it says, this Jesus who was taken up from heaven, from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. He is coming back, but the assignment was that while he is away, we should be in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So why, men and women of the church, why do we sit in our pews? Why do we stay in the safety of our buildings? Why do we just continue to have these manufactured ministries that cater to ourselves and not cater to the greater community that's in need of a Savior.